Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. Tonight, we have a very interesting topic, mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. We will be covering all three topics on tonight. If you know someone that is bound up or suffering with mental illness or demon possession, you may want to tune in. Our phone call-in phone number is 646-668-8633. Again, our call-in guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. And I'll open up with prayer, and we will go right into our holy scriptures. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you on this evening, Father God, and we thank you for giving us another opportunity to bring the word to your people and our listening audience. Lord God, as our voice go out through the airwaves, let it touch those that may be bound up or under the oppression of the enemy, Lord God. We break the spirit of depression, mental illness. Lord God, give us the wisdom on tonight how to deliver this word to your people, how to set the captives free. Lord God, touch them. There are some may not even know, but quicken in their spirit to tune in to the program so that they can be set free. For you said you came to set the captives free. So, Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We thank you for the bountiful blessings that you have bestowed upon our lives. We thank you for our families and those that is connected with our ministry that support us on a daily basis just by word of prayer and lifting us up in prayer, Lord God. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you have strengthened us to carry on this broadcast for the last 8 years, that you have given us that strength. And Lord God, you've given us the power to overcome the enemies and to tread over serpents and scorpions. You have given us. You already did it at the cross. And the victory is already ours. All we need to do is possess what you have given us and walk in the spirit. So, Lord God, we want to thank you tonight. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So, as I said earlier, we're talking about mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. Call in tonight, 646-668-8633. What we will be talking about, first of all, is what I know a lot of you have heard about on TV, psychiatrists, is schizophrenia. They have made several movies about it. Schizophrenia. What is schizophrenia? What exactly does this cover? Is schizophrenia demon possession? What is schizophrenia? Well, in general, what it means is a person has two souls or two personalities. And like I said earlier, you know, there was a movie in the 50s they made about Sybil, and she has a lot of personalities. And, you know, we call them alters, or when people develop certain things through child abuse or certain type of abuse, they can develop certain alters. Well, each personality is equipped with its own attitudes. So you can see once a person may be mild-mannered, and then when this other spirit come over them is a rage. You remember Sasha Fierce, Beyonce? When Sasha Fierce don't come over, she kind of like a low-profile type of girl. But when that other spirit come over, then... So this is how people go in and out. It's called split personalities. Y'all might just say, well, that person is moody. You know, could be having a nice day and all of a sudden, like the drop of a hat, the whole attitude changes. It's like you're talking to somebody totally different. Well, guess what? You may be. May not necessarily be that person. Okay? And I know another thing that brings out, and people say, well, when you're drinking, you know, it just brings out the true you. But a lot of times when people drinking, they become more violent, more aggressive. It's the spirit behind the alcohol. Think about that. So these spirits whip the mind and the personality, and it whip them back and forth, back and forth. Via for power, such as pride versus inferiority. The separate personalities are closely interwoven, so it is impossible for persons who have them to understand and control them. You know, they don't know why they do what they do. They don't know why they act the way they act. And if it's your mate or one of your children, you definitely... is saying, what is wrong with this child? What is wrong with this man or with this woman? There was a book back in the 70s wrote, it was called Pigs in the Parlor. And we could give you identification of someone in the Bible who had this split personality or split soul. It was Saul. Saul was a good example of a schizophrenic type of person. You know, that evil spirit would come over him. He was kind of, you know, but when that spirit would kind of come over him, he was trying to kill David. Demonic possession. And we know that children often become double-minded when a mother or father deal with them by manipulation instead of being forthright. These are some of the ways that the schizophrenia spirit can come over them. For instance, a parent sets a reasonable, fair rule. The child wants to break it, reasonable. And sometimes the parent will try to coerce or manipulate the child into obeying rather than dealing directly or spanking if needed. And, you know, we have references about that in the Bible as well. Amos 3:3 and Matthew 6:24. You might say, well, Evangelist, what are you talking about? When you play these mind games on your children, and as a parent, these children look up to you. And I've seen where a lot of cults get their children involved in these cults. Now, we're talking about mind control as well. But the child grow up under, the parents have these children doing things that that child grew up thinking that's normal. And then after they get out the cult, they have to go through years and years of therapy because of the mind control, because of the brainwashing. So parents, we need to be very careful. We need to love our children, give them the nurturing that God has placed in us as parents, but we should not use manipulation and control over our children, talking about mind control. And I see it often a lot in families where the parent tried to control the child. And even when the child grow up, they're still trying to use an element of mind control over those children. And we need to break that tonight because that is not of God. Mind control, control, all those are forms of witchcraft. It's not of God. Amen? And then we want to talk about double-mindedness. It wears a person out. A double-minded person, if you notice, they're back and forth. Like I said, back and forth, back and forth. You know, no rest. It just wears them out. It frustrates. It confuses them. They're deciding, then undecided. They stagnated, you know, back and forth. They just don't know. For example, you know, there's instances where you could be talking to a person 1 minute and then they decision change. And over in James, he say he's unstable in all his ways. He's talking about a schizophrenic type person. Back and forth, back and forth, even in the ministry, in the gospel. 1 minute you say, 1 minute you out. 1 minute you say. See, that's instability. He's saying that type of person is unstable in all his ways. So if he's unstable in the things of God, 9 times out of 10, he's unstable in their relationships as well. And a lot of these divorces is contributed to double-mindedness, instability. I said a lot of them, not all of them. But what I'm seeing right now, 1 minute you're in love, 1 minute you say you're out of love. Mm-hmm. 1 minute you want to go over here because this person got more money, 1 minute you want this. You're back and forth. This is how your relationships go, back and forth, back and forth. Unstable. So what are you doing? You're putting that instability in your family. And then you're raising up children to be just like that, unstable, unstable, back and forth, back and forth. Can't commit. Can't stay in a committed relationship because you're unstable. So that's double-mindedness. And if you want more reference to double-mindedness, you could go to James 1, 5, and 8. Okay? This is what we're talking about in the church, that we want to address to the church. Because one thing, if you're in God, you should have a sound mind. You shouldn't be unstable. Amen? Schizophrenia, some of the other doors that open to schizophrenia is rejection. The rejection may be real or imagined, but sometimes a child can be rejected even after conception. You see it a lot. Abortion is a form of rejection. What that mother is saying, I don't want you. You don't deserve to live. And if the baby survived the abortion, usually they'll put them up for adoption. So that's a double rejection. And so this child grow up either in the state custody or something like that, maybe in a foster parent that is not nurturing and loving. That's third rejection. So you see how these doors are opening? So this child grow up and feel rejected, that no one loved him, so he can his mind become kind of unstable. He don't understand what love is. Rejection is a door that opens schizophrenia because they don't know how to accept love. And it's hard to love or understand someone who's been abused in the public system or the state system. People just don't understand. You see it often. You see foster parents say, well, we would get them, and then, you know, there was one story where they had had the little foster child, and the little fellow would sleep with knives, 5 years old. But he had been traumatized, seeing his mother going through so much. That's how he felt he needed to survive. You see what I'm saying? So rejection is another way that schizophrenia can come in. And we often say schizo. You heard that. If it's schizo, that's just a short derivative of schizophrenia. And I know you hear it all the time. But demons like to cluster. And this is why we said pigs in the parlor. It gets more in depth in how demons cluster. Usually if there's a schizophrenia spirit, there's other spirits connected with that spirit. Like I said, rejection or, you know, abuse, some type of abuse or some type of, could be manipulation, control, mind control. But these are doors. These are clusters of spirits that goes with the schizophrenia or schizo demon. Okay? Another thing I said, people that have schizophrenia, if it's a parent, they have difficulty showing love. Did you hear what I said? You might say to yourself, I try to love this person all I know how. But it's hard for them to love back. Didn't I just show you? If they've been through rejection as a child, it's hard for them to show love as an adult. Until they get God to deliver them from whatever that caused, the root cause of that schizophrenia, they're not going to be effectively able to show love because they still have that spirit of rejection that they're dealing with. See, when God sets you free, he goes to the root of the problem. He gets the root out because he don't want any remnant of this schizophrenia spirit. Again, I just want to break and give you our call-in number. We have a guest call-in number. If you know someone dealing with schizophrenia or you just don't know, you never could put a handle on what is this problem of this person, they could have this spirit and they need to get delivered. But our call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, it's 646-668-8633. All right, and like I said, schizophrenia parents have difficulty showing up. You know, the mother is the most constant parent with the children and cannot feed or show love to them. They become targets for rejection demons. You hear what I said? If that mother cannot show, because see, they used to say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But if you can't, if you've been as a mother rejected and abused, then sometimes it's going to be hard to put that in that child. You know, fathers are away most of the day, but that mother is there with that child. And believe me, children can pick it up. Children know. They know what true love is. And they know when they feel like they're a burden to you. And I tell people all the time, we have to be very careful how we display or how we react around our children. Many people don't even understand who they are. One proof of schizophrenia personality is the constant question of, who am I? The identity of one's own self is confused or lost. Do you not see that all the time? And who am I? I don't know who I am. So they take all this money to find out who am I? And the media are just playing off of it. Taking money. Because you're trying to find out find your inner self. Remember that? And some of the pastors have been saying this foolishness. Find out who you are. Well, number one, you're a child of the King. Amen? Many people don't understand who they are. One proof is the schizo personality is constant question. Like I said, who am I? The identity of one's own self is confused or lost. Rejection is withdrawing type of personality. It likes to work alone, doesn't participate, unsure. Rejection is inward and withdrawn before it is outward. You see what I'm saying? So a person who's going through rejection, a lot of times they just shut down everybody. They'll get in an environment where they want to be alone. They don't want to be around anybody. That is the opening doors. Rejection starts, but then you bring in that other spirit. Do you see how these spirits cluster and they come one after the other? And we want to let you be free. If you're dealing with this, we have the tools, my brothers and sisters, where you can be free, you know, where you can live a life where you're not burdened down, where you're not double-minded. He who the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. Rejected people always reject others before they can be rejected by them. Did you hear what I said? So they're going to reject you, and they're going to always see something negative because they've been hurt and they don't want to get hurt again. My God, deliverance needs. I know people right now, I'm speaking this, but Lord, they need deliverance. But the only way you're going to be set free is when you acknowledge that there's something not right. Mental illness is a form of schizophrenia. I didn't say demon possession, but it opened the doors to demon spirits that is attached to schizophrenia. And the number one is rejection. Amen? Then rejection, it opened the door to rebellion, which is aggressive, angry. You might have said, I didn't know rebellion was that. I thought it was just disobedience. Well, these are spirits that's attached to it. Rebellion is aggressive, is angry, bitter, resentful, retaliatory, retaliates. This personality is moody, stubborn, and selfish. Did you hear what I said? Rebellion. So the average person just think rebellion is just disobeying. No, these are different entities that is attached to rebellion. And when you have rejection and rebellion in the same body, it is hard to bear. Try living with them. It's hard to bear. And I take my hat off to you. If you can live with that type of person, you're good. Because one minute they this way, one minute they that way. They'll shut you down. They'll reject you. And you're wondering, what can I do? This person continued to shut me down. You see what I'm saying? So this is what this tug of war, back and forth, what I said about earlier. Deliverance from the schizophrenic personality takes time. Because the real self has often not developed very much at that point. So So that's why it takes time. You, as a deliverance minister, you can't just rush in there and cast out the "be healed in Jesus' name." And this is what I see a lot of the church do. They'll just do a 5-minute prayer over these people that's dealing with these things from childhood. That's why Jesus said these kind take much fasting and prayer. You have to show, get this person prepared. Read, give him the word, him or her the word. Let them grow and mature. Because like I said earlier, a lot of times their self has not been developed. Because the spirit has been controlling them for so long. Like I say, they really don't know the true them. And when you see that they're not being controlled by that spirit, you see the true them, the true person. A lot of times they be kind and humble. And you were saying, is this the same person? Amen? The real, you got to help them develop that self. Jesus will help the real person to develop. And like I said, and that comes by washing of the word, getting in a good God-fearing church, staying around the word, feeding your spirit with the word, fasting and praying. Because you don't want to be controlled by the schizophrenia spirit. If you are not schizophrenic, you may be stunned after a stormy encounter. You know, remain stable and calm. God will give you understanding. And this is what I'm saying. A lot of times when they're going through this or they're going through deliverance, anything can upset that way of life and it can push them back into whatever it is. A storm of life come about and it could push them right back into that. And this is why they need to be connected with people that's going to keep them encouraged and keep them nurtured and keep them uplifted. Yes, we're going to go through storms of life, but to a schizophrenic type personality, that can be devastating. Amen. So we want to put our arms around them and we want to love on them, because what the psychiatrist will do, he'll just put them and medicate them. And this is why you're seeing a lot of things that you're seeing. They say, well, he didn't have his medication, so he went out and ran out naked, and the police shot him up because he wasn't taking his medication. Or he didn't take his medication, so he killed up his parents. See, God wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to be dependent on medication, because this is all the you know, medical professionals do. They can't diagnose it. They don't know why you got this split personality. So what they going to do is put you on a pill. But we have the answer for you. Jesus is the answer to the problem. But you're not going to get your problem solved through natural means. A lot of times this is spiritual. Mental illness is a sickness. Most people have some form of mental illness. It's sorry to say. But when it's compulsive, you know, I can't do this because I then you got that's severe. The severity of mental illness, you know. You know, these compulsions where people, they got to continually wash their hands. And washing your hands is good, but they're compulsive with it, you know. Or the germ phobia, you know. Everything is a germ, and what they don't realize, when you breathe in air, it's full of germs, but God got mechanism built in us to fight off the germ. But see how the devil mess with their mind, or schizophrenia, or paranoia. People is out to get me. You can't even live a normal life. Paranoid. You know? And this is how demons affect. I didn't say you were demon possessed. Now there's a difference. The mental illness, and I talked about the mind control. But they all go hand in hand, because if you don't get deliverance from the mental illness, you can't open yourself up to demon possession. Demons like to prey on the vulnerable. Now, a person that's a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, and we'll talk about that a little more. And I have a clip that I'm going to play for you. But a true Christian, full of the Holy Spirit, cannot be demon-possessed. But they can have a mental illness. And it can be contributed from double-mindedness. It can be contributed to abuse and as a child. This is the kind God wants you to be set free from. Because no child of God should be double-minded. This is why he mentioned it over in James. He said a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So God is telling you as a believer, he don't want you to be double-minded. Amen? So with schizophrenia, when this person explodes, what he does, he or she does, they open door to bitterness. Demons will convince them that it is all the other person's fault. Have you ever seen people like that? No matter what goes on, it's your fault. It's your fault I'm the way I am. It's your fault. Schizophrenia spirit only feed them what that other person is doing, that paranoia. Amen? So under the rejection comes infirmity, insecurity, deep depression, self-accusation, and compulsion. For example, a person enters into a wrongdoing and cannot keep from confessing. Over and over and over, over and over and over, over and over and over. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. God, hear you. You don't have to keep doing that. Just ask God for forgiveness and thank him and move on. See, a schizophrenic person, he'll make a compulsion out of anything. Eating disorders, bulimia. Amen. So we know that the number one thing, jealousy and envy, usually of others who can give, it's hard for them to receive the love. We talked about that. We want to see you free in Jesus' name. I'll give the call-in number again. It's 646-668-8633. The main areas to conquer are rejection, what we said earlier, bitterness, and rebellion. As a person breaks old habits of reaction, he must begin to give and receive love, submit to valid authority, like I said, get planted in a good God-fearing church, and readily forgive. As you begin to see yourself grow, it gets very exciting. You can give love and not be hurt when it is not returned. Amen. You will understand because you have been there before. Paranoia is conquered by faith and trust in God. You will do many new things because you are no longer torn between the rejection and the rebellion. Amen. He who the Son set free is free indeed. You no longer need to live in a cage. Let the true you come out. There is beauty in you. Come out. Burst forth like a blooming flower. You've been caged up too long in your mind, in your thoughts. The devil has had you so bound up. You want to be free. You want to live like other people. You want to be able to do things like other people. But because you've been hurt in your life, you're afraid to step out. But tonight I say, step out. Trust God. Let God take full control over your life. And I can guarantee you, you will see a beautiful side that you never saw. You'll see a beautiful you that you never knew was in you. Because you're no longer holding on to the hurt and the bitterness and the distrust, and the unforgiveness. So we're going to play this clip, and then Bishop will come back, And he's going to talk a little more about that. But I want you to know that we're here for you. And a lot of times, if you don't want to call, feel free to shoot us an email. If you want to shoot us an email, do so, because we're here for you. Like I told you earlier, we don't get paid for what we do, but we love what we do. Amen? So this is about a five-minute clip. It's talking about, can a Christian be possessed? I want you to just listen to this, and if you have some questions, call in, and we'll answer them. Amen.
In them, or be possessed by an evil spirit. Again, I'm just going to say what Scripture says.
This is Pastor Tim.
Well, let's ask this. What can, biblically, what can the devil do to believers? Tempt them? How do we know that? Christ was tempted. Right. He is called the tempter. Right? And Paul feared lest the Christians at Corinth were being tempted just like Eve was tempted. So yes, he can tempt Christians. What else can he do to Christians? Remember what he asked permission to do to Peter? Sift him. Sift him. What do you think that is? Probably another way to say tempt, right? Tempt, what is temptation? Temptation is luring to sin. Not causing to sin, but enticing to it. Peter was sifted. He was put in a situation where he denied the Lord. He was sifted to see what he was made of. Yes, he was tried. But something else that Satan can do to a child of God. He accuses. Day and night, he accuses our brethren. He can accuse us. He can slander us. What else can he do? We have temptation. He can tempt, sift, slander, accuse. Can he deceive us? He is the deceiver. And the thing is, with temptation is a lie, right? There's always a lie. Yes, anytime he tempts us and we fall into the sin he tempts us into, he's deceived us. There's something else he can do to us. Now, he goes about seeking to devour, but can he actually devour a true Christian? What can he do? Job, with God's permission, what can he do? What did he do? He destroyed his children, his wealth, his health. He can take your health away if God grants him permission. But he asks permission to sift. Let me tell you what. He's like a dog on a chain. He can only do what is within that little dog pen that he's allowed to run in. And God can reel the chain in or let it out anytime God determines. Is there any account where a Christian is possessed? There isn't. There isn't. Flesh and blood, but what do we wrestle against? So there's a fight. We can wrestle. He can do battle with us. But when it comes to possession, I found several places that, you know, what does Satan do to lost people that he can't do to us? True of Satan's relationship with lost people. I've been memorizing Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. What's something that said there concerning the lost do what? They follow the course of the world. They follow the prince of the power of the air. And what's he described as? The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He's at work in them. He's actually got control of them. Can anybody think of somewhere else that scripture talks about? He's their father. He's their father. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are from God, but the whole world does what? It lies in the power of the evil one. He is the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. They all lie within his power. He has dominion over them. Does he have dominion over us? No. He that is with us is greater than he that is in the world. In fact, Christ likens himself to what? The one who is stronger than the strong man and has the ability to come and tie him up, bind him up, and take what's his. And that's what he's done. He's freed us. He is no longer our father. We're no longer in that bondage. We're no longer possessed in that way. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let me tell you this. I'll tell you another thing Satan cannot do to God's children. He cannot so control us as to move us into a place where we practice sin and don't love the brethren. He cannot do it. Can he tempt us at times to fall into sin, at times to have unloving gestures towards the brethren? Yes. But can he move us into the practice of that? No way. He does not have the power to do it. In fact, if that's true in your life, you are of the devil. You are not of God. Whoever practices sin is not of God. They're of the devil. That's specifically and exactly what the scripture says. Let me tell you something else. You talk about his question, can an evil spirit, can a Christian have an evil spirit? Now, obviously, they can have an evil spirit that tempts them, that they wrestle with, that it brings spiritual warfare to them. But you know what's true of every child of God? What do they have in them? The Holy Spirit. And in fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now listen to this. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And so if you do belong to him, you have the Spirit, and where that Spirit is, it's a Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you this, unclean spirits and the Holy Spirit do not bide together and live together in the same place. Those that we are told about in Scripture that were possessed, Acts 8:5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, proclaimed to them the Christ. The crowds of one accord paid attention to what was being said to Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed, but there were lost folks. Mark 7:25, immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Mark 5:18, the demoniac, you know, the one that had the legion of demons, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons. But these are all lost people. Never do you have an example in the scriptures of somebody that's saved that's said to have been possessed.
Amen. So we wanted to let you hear, just to validate what we were saying, if you are a child of God with the Holy Spirit dwelling and living in you, you cannot be possessed, not demon possessed. You can be afflicted. You can be sometimes even tormented, oppressed. But you know, sometimes tormented spirit goes back to schizophrenia. You don't know the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. And this is why God gives ministers and preachers the word of God to present to those who don't know how to utilize their power. It's for us to equip the body, to build them up, so you can rebuke the enemy, so you can rebuke schizophrenia, so you can rebuke whatever is tormenting you. God has given you the authority through the Holy Spirit. And you can say, I command you, spirit of schizophrenia, to leave my body right now. Leave my mind. But see, if you don't know how to operate in the power, then you're going to be bound. And a lot of times people say, well, they aren't teaching that at my church. Then go somewhere where they are teaching it. Because you need to be set free. Amen? So it's about 816. I'm going to give our phone number one more time. It's 646-668-8633. At this time, I'm going to turn the floor, get the floor over to Bishop. He's going to come as the Lord lead him. You guys be blessed. Have a beautiful evening. Amen? Evangelist Montgomery signing off.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. And our subject is tonight, mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. Evangelist Montgomery was talking about an aspect of mental illness that's called schizophrenia, and that involves a lot of different things. So that has been covered well, so I won't go back into that. But we have a mind control, and then we have mental illness or demon possession. And what we see on today in this day and time, all three of these things are happening, and many times our professional people can't tell the difference. They can't tell the difference. They can't tell the difference. So since they can't tell the difference, they can't effectively treat it. Now, we understand we did a series on mind control a couple of weeks ago, and we know the different things that they do. And that. So that has been covered. Mental illness and the aspect of schizophrenia has been covered. But there's also other aspects of mental illness that we're going to deal with. And then we're going to go into a demon possession. Well, some of the things that's happening nowadays is past mental illness. It's past mind control. And it goes into the supernatural. And when I say supernatural, I'm talking about demonic activity, demon possession, demonic oppression, all these different things. Well, how do you know? Well, there are symptoms. For one thing, in reference to mental illness, I want to bring that out a little bit and say what doctors say it is. I'm not going off of my thoughts. I'm going off what doctors and psychiatrists say that this thing is. It says, now one doctor said that for one thing, mental illness is nothing to be ashamed of, because if you're ashamed of it, you won't go and have this taken care of. It says it's a medical problem. A mental illness is a medical problem, like diabetes or heart disease. See, mental illness are health conditions involving changes in thinking, emotion, or behavior, or a combination of these things. And so a lot of people struggle with this, and a lot of people have some type of mental illness. Most people do. But we're going to get into this a little deeper. Mental illnesses are associated with distress and are problems functioning in social, work, or family activities. Mental illness. So it's common that in a given year, nearly 1 in 5, 19% now, 19% of U.S. adults experience some form of mental illness. 1 in 24, or 4.1%, has a serious mental illness. Most people don't have serious mental illnesses. 1 in 12, 8.5%, have a substance use disorder, which many times will connect to mental illness or even cause it. Mental illness is treatable. This is, and we all know this, But mental illness is treatable. The vast majority of individuals with mental illness continue to function in their daily lives. So it's not something that's going to keep you from functioning. But sometimes it will slow your functioning process down. Now, what's going on? Mental health involves effective functioning in daily activities that result in productive activities, work, school, caregiving, healthy relationships, ability to adapt to change and cope with adversity. That's healthy mental. That's mental health right there. But mental illness refers collectively to all diagnosable mental disorders, health conditions involving significant changes in thinking, emotion and or behavior, distress, and problems functioning in social, work, or family activities. So you see the difference between healthy mental and unhealthy or mental illness. So as we see, everybody has some type of mental illness, but it's not to the point that it stops you from functioning properly. It throws everything off. It causes you to, as Evangelist Montgomery said earlier, to have this split personality where you go off into all kinds of different realms. Mental health is the foundation of thinking, communicating, learning, resilience, and self-esteem. That's why it's important to have a healthy mental attitude. It's also the key to relationships, personal and emotional well-being, contributing to community or society. Now, most folks who have mental conditions, they don't want to talk about it. Or mental illness, they don't want to talk about it. But as was said earlier, it's not to be ashamed of. It's a medical condition, like disease or like heart disease, diabetes, and it's treatable. I say this again, it is treatable. Now, they are continually understanding how the brain works. Many doctors are studying how the brain works, how the human brain works. And treatments are available to help people successfully manage mental health conditions. One thing we want to say is mental illness does not discriminate. It's not just to one people or to one race. It goes through all people, all races. It can affect anyone, regardless of their age, gender, income, social status, race, ethnicity, religion, spirituality, sexual orientation, background, or other aspect of cultural identity. Anyone can fall into unhealthy mental illness. It can occur at any age. But it's interesting, it can occur at any age, but three-fourths of all mental illnesses begins by age 24, begins by age 24. It takes many forms. Some are fairly mild and only interfere in limited ways with daily life, such as certain phobias or abnormal fears. A phobia, when they say phobia, is an abnormal fear. In other words, if you see a spider or a worm, you're subject to have a spasm or a fit. You see, that's a form of mental illness. Or it paralyzes you. Some people have some of the strangest phobias. They can't step on a crack. If they step on a crack on the sidewalk, they're subject to have a spasm or a fit. That's mental illness. And there are other mental health conditions that's so severe that a person might have to go to the hospital. Now, this was brought out by Dr. Rana Parekh. He's the doctor who gives this diagnosis of mental illness, what it is. And it goes into all kinds of different aspects and forms. But that's just a definition, just a slight definition of what mental illness is. Now, I'm going to go into some other things at this particular point in time, and I'm going to go into mental illness or demon possession. Now, what we're seeing nowadays, when you look at the news, when you look at television, when you listen to the radio, and even in some of the songs that have been put forth, you can tell that there's something else going on. You can tell that there is some type of supernatural activity happening. It's not natural. It's just not natural. So what are we talking about? All right. Differences in demon possession, mental illness, and depression. Now you notice it says demon possession, mental illness, and depression. See, there is no cut and dry answer to these things. There are some basic principles, though. Said not all psychological difficulties can be classified as mental illness. Some are linked to changeable patterns of behavior or basic human maturity issues. Can be remedied by healthy living, sense of community, human and spiritual formation, the discovery of a mission in life, and other fruitful activities. For example, sometimes mild but persistent depression or problems with anger management are really rooted in patterns of sin that have torn apart a person's interior balance. Now, it also must be said, however, that mental illness is a reality, and that's what we just talked about. It is a reality, but it even goes deeper than that. It's a dysfunction, a disorder, rooted in the structure of the personality. Mental illness in these cases is not always caused by direct demonic activity. You hear that? Not by direct demonic activity, but as we're seeing today, as we've noticed on on several occasions, you looked at the news and you have these bath salts, people taking bath salts, and it causes to strip down. You remember where the man a bit off the man's face, naked, started growling and attacked the man and started biting the man's face. Now, what happened was this drug or this bath salt opened this man up to a supernatural being that possessed him and took over this person. And he attacked this man and started to try to eat him. So somebody might say that was mental illness, but no, that was more in the line of the supernatural or demon possession. And we see this all the time. But people just say, well, he was mentally ill, or he was drugged out, or I don't know what was going on with this guy. Well, 9 times out of 10, these people are involved in occultic activity or maybe even satanic activity, and they open themselves up to demonic possession. I wanted to bring that out. But not all mental illness is caused by direct demonic activity, but sometimes they are. Most times it's caused by traumatic physical or psychological experiences, genetic or physiological imbalances, or a combination of any of these factors. Now, we have to remember sometimes medication can help a person lead an almost normal life. Other times, good psychological counseling or treatment in harmony with Christian understanding of the human person can help a person lead an almost normal life in some cases. However, the illness is so deep that even medication and sound treatment can only help contain the problem. And that's kind of what you're seeing on an everyday basis. They try to medicate something that cannot be medicated, and it only contains the problem, but it doesn't solve it. It doesn't get rid of it. So when the medication wears off, this thing that's affecting this person comes out and does whatever it wants to do, or does whatever is in this person's mind, or does whatever this mental illness would suggest to it, or whatever some other voice is saying to it. Says a lifelong cross for the person and their family. Nevertheless, from mild to extreme, listen, a healthy spiritual life, prayer, sacraments, should be developed. Discovering God's love and learning to live in His light is the only path to full healing for all of us. Now, you got to remember, we're talking about mental illness, demon possession, mind control. And the reason we're talking like this is because we're seeing it on a daily basis, every day, every time we cut on the television, we look at the news, we see something in reference to this. As a matter of fact, before we even started the program, it was on the news where a woman tried to run over some baseball players for no reason at all. And as a result of her trying to run over these children on the baseball diamond, she ran through the fence and ran over someone and killed them. So what we're talking about is relevant. Now, they didn't say why the woman did it. They didn't say if she was under mind control, or she had some kind of mental illness, or if the woman was even possessed. They just said what she did. But we're talking about what would cause all these things to happen. Nobody asks like that who is in a healthy mental condition. People don't just do things like that when they are healthy in body, mind, and spirit. They don't do those things. Okay, so we talked about the reality of mental illness. We talked about the reality of mind control. Now, let's talk about another reality that people don't want to talk about. They'll say anything else other than this. And what is this thing? It's demon possession, demonic activity, devilish influence. Now, we have to also say that demonic activity is real. And the church teaches this. It's obvious in the Gospels. So demons normally work by stirring up temptation in the ever areas of the seven deadly sins: greed, lust, anger, sloth, pride, envy, gluttony. Sometimes, the devil and his buddies or his imps work in more supernatural ways. Can be through obsession, by which a demon will bother a person from the outside, causing chronic physiological or psychological pain. So the enemy is only about stealing, killing, and destroying. And that's why you see a lot of this foul activity going on, because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're telling you how he does these things. And he can also work through possession, by which a demon takes temporary control of a person's physical and bodily capabilities from within, but not their souls. They take control of a person temporarily. They take control of them temporarily so that they may do whatever that spirit consists of. So if it's a spirit of murder, he will take control of that person to commit murder. If it's a foul spirit, It will take over this person to commit foul deeds. And then after he has committed that foul deed, then he will subside and leave that person to the mercy of the authority, the police, or doctors, or psychiatrists, or whatever. Because a person that's possessed, even though he's possessed, and he may be possessed all the time, the thing doesn't manifest until certain times. Unless the thing has so much control over the person that he can do whatever he wants to do at will or all the time. Let's say, why God permits these demonic manifestations, it's a bit of a mystery. But you have to remember, the person that is possessed by these foul spirits, I will say, if they're possessed, they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are not saved. Many times they don't know Jesus. They don't know God. Many times they are involved in occultic activity. They are involved in satanic activity. They get involved with things such as Ouija boards and things of that nature. Open themselves or satanic activity. They get involved in witchcraft. That opens themselves up to all kinds of demonic activity. Let's say the devil works to damage and disrupt human nature, normal functions of the human person. That's what the devil wants to do, destroy that. That's why mental illness, a natural disruption of human nature, often has characteristics that also appear in the case of demonic activity, supernatural disruption of human nature. And so how can you tell if some demonic activity is going on and if somebody is suffering from that? Usually, but not always, there will be something in the person's past that could provide a clue. There are their family members, siblings, parents. Here it is, used to play around with the occult, pagan, New Age, Wiccan, and other such practices. So these things, they're making a comeback in many parts of modern secular society because I say it like this. Men have the desire for something spiritual, okay? So if you don't accept the spiritual aspects of God and Christ and what is holy, then you will gravitate to the spiritual aspects that is unholy, which is various pagan, New Age, Wiccan, and satanic activity or occultic activity seeking spirituality. And when you seek spirituality outside of God and Christ, then you have opened the door to demonic activity, demonic possession, demonic oppression, because you are completely outside of the will of God. Now, from saying that, I'm going to go into a different aspect of the word. Now, you know, a lot of times they talk about exorcism, but what exorcism really is to cast out a devil. But you can a demon spirit can be cast out by a person who has a relationship with God and has a calling to do that, and God has placed this anointing on a person where they can cast out or a rebuke a foul spirit in the name of Jesus. Because every devil and every foul spirit is subject to that name. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ is above every name on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ. Since the name of Jesus Christ is above every name on the face of the earth, therefore, you can use that name to fight demonic activity. When you are a child of the King, now I must must stress that. You really and truly should have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be saved if you want to deal with supernatural entities. Because there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is through Jesus Christ. Foul, unclean spirits respond to the name of Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They know who our Lord and Savior is, and they know that they are subject to Jesus Christ. And if you are a child of the King and the Lord is in your life and you are filled with the Spirit of God and God has given you this anointing and he has chosen you for this work, then you can rebuke foul and unclean spirits. All right? Now, I'm going to go into another aspect of what I'm talking about here. We're talking about mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. I mentioned the part about demon possessions. Evangelist Montgomery mentioned some part of that in reference to schizophrenia and all the foul spirits connected with that. But I want to go a little different now. Now, what the enemy does many times, he distorts or he has a misapplication of scripture. You know, the devil can and does pretend to be the voice of God. That's one thing we need to know. You hear people say, well, they hear voices. And it's amazing because most of the time, if you hear these people say that, they always hear voices that tell them to do something evil. And when these voices tell them to do something evil, they just do what the voice says. They don't try to reject it. They don't tell the thing, no, I'm not going to do it. They don't invoke Jesus. I mean, they don't try to go to God. If the voice tell them to go and shoot up 15, 20 people, they just go out and shoot up 15, 20 people. And then when the police get them, catch them, they say, well, you know, a voice was telling me to do that, and the voice said it was God. For one thing, people and children of the Most High God, God is not going to tell you to go out and murder 20 or 30 people. God is not going to tell you to go out and rob people. God is not going to tell you to go out and rape somebody. God is not going to tell you to go out and do anything that is against God. God is not going to tell you those things. So if a voice is coming to you and telling you something that's wrong and telling you something that's going to destroy you and someone else, it ain't God. It's not Christ. It is the devil. It's amazing that these people they say voices telling them to do things, the voice never tell them to do something good. Never tell them to go feed the poor. The voice never tell them to go and clothe the naked. It never tells them to go and help somebody. It always tells them to go and destroy someone. So why am I talking like this? Because a lot of folks that have these mental illnesses say these things. And then they say God told them to tell it, told them to do it. I remember some time ago a woman, she put a little baby in the oven and cooked it. And after she cooked the baby, she said that God told her to do it. Which God? The God of this world, who is the devil. God would never tell anybody to do that. The devil told people to do that. Moloch could tell you to do that. Or Moloch could tell you to do that, to destroy and sacrifice your kids. But God has never told anyone to sacrifice their children. Oh, or somebody might say, well, but God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But God stopped them. It didn't happen. So that doesn't apply. You see how the enemy would misapply the word and twist the word? He'll use the word, but it's twisted. We're talking about mental illness or demon possession. And that's how the enemy comes to people who have mental illness, by twisting and corrupting the word to get his program across. And then many times, the same evil spirits will blame God. The same people who do these horrible things will blame God for what the enemy does. Now remember, we're talking about mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. So you, when you're talking about these things, you got to get into all aspects of it, because if you don't, there'll be some things left hanging and people will be questioned. Now I'm going to, let's get into some other things here now. Psychologists refer to auditory, visual, tactile hallucinations. As I said, some people hear voices, see corresponding visions of someone talking to them, and feel bodily sensations that are without physical explanation. Example, I get raped every night. In my estimation, most of these hallucinations are in fact demonic. Anytime you find yourself doing something, as we just said, something to hurt yourself or others, it is likely demonic forces are involved, especially in these two ways. You are hurting yourself to relieve emotional pain caused by a satanic foothold, cutting to relieve the emotional pain associated with having been sexually abused. You are harming others, especially involuntarily, as a result of demonic pressure. Example, involuntarily making disrespectful comments about others as part of your Tourette's disorder. And you know what Tourette's is. Tourette's is a disorder that causes involuntary bodily jerks, contortions, and things of that nature. So that's what Tourette's is. Now, the Bible says a lot about the enemy. So he is a deceiver. 1 Timothy 4:1-3, Colossians 2:8. He seeks to distort or misapply scripture for his own purposes. You hear that? For his own purposes. Matthew 4:1-11. He is a liar and a murderer. John 8:44. He encourages child abuse. Did you hear that? The enemy encourages child abuse up to and to the extent of murder. Psalm 106:37. He is the spiritual author of false religions. 2 Corinthians 11:1-15. He seeks to impede believers in their endeavors. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He tempts us to sin. You hear that? He tempts us to sin. Genesis 3. He encourages envy and selfish ambitions. James 3:14. He torments with mental illness. Mark 5:1-20. Did you hear that? He torments with mental illness. Now, what is our subject tonight? Mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. Now, we know also that mental illness can also be brought upon by, trauma. It can be brought upon by drugs. It can be brought upon by foul spirits. But we're dealing with now demon possession and how the enemy operates. It says, Satan sometimes acquires footholds, especially as a result of unforgiveness. This is very important. Satan sometimes acquires footholds as a result of unforgiveness. Ephesians 4:26-27. And a foothold allows Satan to produce emotional distress in various ways at times of his choosing. Did you hear that? Unforgiveness is a door, is an open door to be afflicted by the enemy. It's an open door for demonic oppression. It's an open door for all kinds of activity of the enemy. And the reason I'm speaking this way is because we're seeing these things every day. And the only way anyone can be free, totally free of these things, is through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he has the authority and the utmost power over all principalities and powers. Over all of it. Over all wickedness. Over all evil. Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. Jesus Christ is the answer to all tormented souls. Jesus Christ is the answer to mental illness, mind control, and demonic possession, and oppression, and torment. Jesus Christ is the answer to all these things. So if you really, really want to be free, if you really want to have a sound mind, if you really want to be sound body, soul, and spirit, I'm telling you the truth, people, and people of the Most High God. You need to seek Jesus Christ. We all need Jesus Christ. You all need to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that God has raised him from the dead, and that we must repent of our sins and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us, and we must forgive others. And when we do this and invite our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our life, then he has the power to set things right in our life and set us free from all kinds of oppression and possession and mental illness. Now, many times it won't happen overnight. You have to persist in it. You have to persist in your relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to persist in prayer. You have to persist in the study of the Word. You have to resist the devil, for the Word of God says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, first it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It didn't say he might. He said he will, but you have already subjected yourself to God and to Christ. And you are allowing the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to work through you. You are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. Remember, demonic entities cannot dwell alongside of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, you see. Light and darkness don't reside together. Either you have light or you have darkness. When you are oppressed by the devil or suffering from mental illness or suffering from mind control or you have demonic possession operating, or you are under the influence of foul and demonic spirits, you are in darkness. But when you come into the light of Jesus Christ, then you don't have those other things going on. They don't have control of your life. So, and that we will end our discussion on mind control, mental illness, or demonic possession that we are seeing on a daily basis. But I want to end on the note that Jesus Christ is the answer to all these various mental illnesses and demonic possession and demonic oppression and demonic activity and this horrifying mind control that's going on in the world. You need the Lord Jesus to regulate your mind. And you can only, and it can only be done by you accepting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the only way. It's the only way. So at that, Jesus Christ is the answer for mind control, mental illness, or demon possession. And at this time, we will end this particular episode. But remember, people, some things can only be answered and solved in Christ Jesus. It's the only way. It's the only way. We're telling the truth. Jesus is real. God is real. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is real and is the answer. And he is the answer to all of our problems. All right, children of the Most High God, we'll be broadcasting again next Saturday. We ask that you come and visit us or listen to us. That ends our program. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask that you bless all the people that's listening tonight. Touch their mind, touch their body, soul, and spirit, whatever they're bound with, Father God. We ask that you set them free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, touch their heart, their soul, that they will receive the engrafted word and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.